This is Novel Marketing.
I'm James L. Rubart.
I'm Thomas Umstadt Jr.
And this is the show for novelists who are not necessarily fond of marketing, but still want to become best-selling authors.
And today we are going to be answering a listener question from Elizabeth Jane Kitchens, who's the author of the book The Beast's Enchantress. And she asks,
what's your opinion of book trailers? Are they worth the effort? Should they be like movie trailers? Should they have the author introduce the book by connecting it to its theme, by talking about self-image or freedom, for example? Should it be like a slideshow of the book blurb with a mood-setting background and a mood-setting photo and a mood-setting music? Or is there some specific other format a book trailer should follow? So I think, I guess we're answering the question, to book trailer or not book trailer?
That's right. Because not everyone is a big fan of book trailers. So before...
Now, we're not gonna say which side of the fence we fall on before...
I don't know if I'll be able to go the whole episode without sharing my opinion. You know, they say opinions are like warts. Everyone has them, but no one wants to see anybody else's. Well... I have some very strong opinions about book trailers, but let's go over both the positives and the negatives of book trailers. Do you think that would be fair for all concerned?
I love it. Okay. Let's do it that way.
Okay. So Jim, I'll let you do the positives for book trailers. What are some of the pros of creating a book trailer?
Well, first let's cover off on what a book trailer is. And essentially a book trailer is like a movie trailer, except instead of for a movie, it's for a book. That's probably the simplest explanation for those of you who are saying, what exactly is a book trailer? And I run into this all the time where readers do not know what a book trailer is. So know that the people that you are developing your book trailers for might not necessarily know what it's about. So that being said, let's dive in to some of the pros of doing a book trailer. Book trailers can blow up. By that I mean they can go viral. They start being shared all over the internet, and it's a way to get yourself on YouTube, get yourself on other people's blogs. It's a way to really make an impact. Thomas?
And a good example of this is the book trailer for the movie for the book Sense and Sensibility and Sea Monsters. I think this book trailer got 1 million, maybe 2 million views, and it's worth it. And I can just hear some of you right now of like Sense and Sensibility and Sea Monsters. So you're typing into Google and you watch it and you're like, what on earth? I'm not going to tell you what happens, but it's a great book trailer. And the way they did it is that they brought in actors and they actually acted a scene from the book or a scene from the story world of the book. I don't know if it actually took place in the book, but it's very dramatic and they spent a lot of money on it. And it's a very effective book trailer and was very effective at helping them sell a lot of books because it was watched by so many people.
Some people will tell you that 7% of communication is what you say, 33% of communication is how you say it, and the remaining 55% is body language. I don't necessarily agree with that, but let's use that as a basis to say that TV is the most powerful form of advertising because you can combine all the elements. Well, that's what you're doing with a book trailer. You're combining all the elements of communication in one spot. So, and in our culture, Thomas, I would propose that movies are the most powerful way to communicate ideas. It's certainly what we act as are the gods of this age. Our actors, those are the gods like the Greek gods used to be. And so movies, TV is the most powerful way to communicate. So with a book trailer, you are harnessing all those things. Instead of just something you read, a book blurb, you get to act this thing out. And that's the power of a book trailer.
I almost want to do my rebuttals now, but I'm going to just wait. I'll let you go through the rest of the pros.
All right, we'll go through the rest of the pros. The other thing is people understand movie trailers. They get that. So it's an easy leap for them to go, oh, it's like a movie trailer, but for a book. So it's not an education process you have to take them through. Another pro for book trailers is they're easier to share than trying to copy a blurb or trying to explain it. Boom, you can hit a button and somebody can be watching it on YouTube instantly.
And YouTube videos spread very easily. So people are used to spreading YouTube videos. When you share a YouTube video via a social media channel, often they can watch it right there in Facebook or right there in Twitter or in their app. And so they really are very, and they email easily as well because the video fits into a single URL. So that is a real benefit, is that if it's good and if it works, it can spread very quickly.
It makes you look like a big deal. If it's well done, and we're going to talk about that in the con portion. But if it is well done, it makes you look like a big deal. And then finally, it makes you stand out. If your book has a trailer and 10 other books do not, your book is going to stand out above the competition.
All right. So let's talk about the cons.
Oh, no. Here it comes. Your
competition with book trailers are movie trailers. And in many ways, you're promoting one medium, reading, and another medium, which is watching movies. And so it's something that reaches out to a part of your audience that isn't necessarily your audience, because a lot more people watch video than read books. And so you're not reaching readers necessarily. So while it's spreading on YouTube, it may not be the kind of people you're wanting to watch it that are watching it. And the most important thing, though, here, the biggest con, is that a bad trailer is worse than no trailer. And most trailers are really bad. So one of the things that Elizabeth asked in her question is, what do you think about a slideshow with the book blurb and music, you know, mood setting music? And that is worse than nothing. Don't do that. There's a lot of companies that will, for a few $100s, make what I call a photo photo factories. And they'll just, you know, throw together a really quick video for you. And they're cheesy and they don't work. And the reason why they don't work is that a bunch of stock photos and your back cover copy, you're competing with real movie trailers, which are very high budget expenditures. They look really good. And compared to that, it makes you look low budget and makes you look like an independent self-published author, because you don't see traditional authors creating those kinds of book trailers very often. And that's what 99% of book trailers are. Very rarely do you see someone hire actors and get a script and bring in a film crew to do something like what they did with Sense and Sensibility and Sea Monsters. And for those of you nonfiction folks who listen, because we know that you're out there and there's a lot more of you than you would think at the Novel Marketing Podcast, but it's easier.
What are you doing here?
No, you're welcome. We love you. We're happy to have you here. And for you non-writers who just are here for the marketing. It's a lot easier to do a book trailer for nonfiction, because you can kind of do a talk that's just you talking to the camera about the primary topic of your book, kind of the essence of your book. And I've seen far more low budget or medium budget nonfiction book trailers work. The challenge, though, is that you have things you wouldn't normally think about are really important in a book trailer, like how attractive you are. People are used to seeing beautiful actors and actresses on camera. And so you need to be, you don't necessarily need to be a supermodel, but you need to be kind of in that same arena. Otherwise, you're being compared to that and it's going to make you look less good being on video. And so you just have to realize that video of any format is a higher, more intense competitive landscape.
Well, readers aren't necessarily sold on them. And Thomas touched on this earlier, where they're just not used to it. So in one sense, they can go, oh, it's like a book. It's like a movie trailer for a book. But they're still not used to buying books that way. They're not used to discovering authors that way. And because that's not an avenue or a portal that they're used to going through, oftentimes you might have a million hits. Well, that doesn't happen very often. But let's say you have 5,000 hits on your book trailer. That doesn't mean it's translating into sales.
Right. And the average book trailer only gets about 200 views or so on YouTube. And so if you're converting 1% of that, that's two additional book sales for something that may have cost you, you know, a couple $100s. So they are a real pitfall. So they don't often get a lot of views, again, unless it goes viral. So I do know... Well, we'll get into that when we get into the tips. So another con is return on investment, or ROI, as we like to say in the business world. They're very expensive to make, which means they have to sell a lot of book copies to pay for themselves. Now, if it's good enough, you can actually pay Amazon to feature it on the book page itself. And so for a lot of high-end books, occasionally, especially nonfiction, there may be a video on the Amazon page for that book. For that book, but you actually have to pay for that, which is Amazon's way of weeding out the low budget videos, which is really smart on Amazon's part, because if anybody could put a video there, it'd be a lot of these slideshows that would hurt the sales rather than help the sales.
And I should interject here, because some people are going to say, Jim, you've got book trailers and you go to Rooms, for example, on Amazon, and there's a book trailer on the Amazon page for Rooms. The caveat is that my publisher paid for that. They developed it. I had some input on it. But they did it right. It's a good book trailer. And so it all comes down to, and we're going to talk about this, if you've landed on the pro side and you want to do a trailer, really what it all comes down to, and I'm going to belabor the point because we need to, your competition is movie trailers. So if yours is not as good as movie trailers, then you're in trouble.
And a lot of the tips we give on this podcast are very low risk tips. You know, if your email newsletter fails to take off, no one sees your email newsletter and no one knows that it's not successful. It's a hidden failure. Whereas a failure with a book trailer is a public failure. It's a much higher risk. And so the reward can be very high, but the risk is also higher as well. So you need to walk into it with both eyes open.
Okay, so let's say people have said, yeah, I see the cons, but I also see the pros. I want to jump in and do a movie trailer. And maybe we should start with some of the questions that Elizabeth asks, because they're good questions. She says, should it be like a slideshow? You touched on that, Thomas.
No.
Should it be a slideshow of the book blurb? No.
No.
Or should it follow some other format? So let's talk about 7 or 8 keys to an effective trailer.
So I would say one of the most important elements of any book trailer is the audio, because it's the music or the audio, if you have a narration or people on screen, that's what moves you emotionally. It's the images are important, but what triggers your emotions is the audio. And so if you can't move someone emotionally, what you put on screen isn't going to work. And so first.
And don't blow past this, because everyone thinks, well, it's visual. I got to have great visuals. It's a video. It's got to be the image. It is not. It is the sound. And to prove this to you, just watch a horror movie with the sound off.
Oh my gosh.
Right? And you're going to go, this isn't scary. And then watch a horror movie with the sound on.
But your eyes closed.
Close your eyes.
Yes.
And you will go, oh my gosh, it is the power of sound.
That's right. So it was one of the reasons why I really like audiobooks, because it's almost as good as a movie, but, you know, a lot deeper and with all the cool characters and stuff. Okay, so we know to do the audio. What are some other tips, Jim, in terms of how to get it professional?
Make it short. Make it short. You are trying to hook the reader. You do not have to put every worm in the can on the hook. One worm is enough. What you want to do is get them to do something. Maybe it's to go to Amazon. Maybe it's to go to your website. Maybe it's to sign up for your newsletter. You're just trying to get them to do one thing. So you're just trying to hook them.
Yeah. And by short, we mean like 2 minutes long.
Or an agent. What's that?
Oh, I was saying by short, we mean 2 minutes long. So you want to shoot for than 2.5 minutes.
And 2 minutes is on the long side. My first book trailer for Rooms, it's 45 seconds. And I challenge you to go watch that and not be, wow, I got to find out more about this. You can convey what you need to in 45 seconds. If you can do it in 30, do it in 30 seconds. But the shorter, the better.
You want it to be one Lay's potato chip. You want it to be just enough so they know what it tastes like, and they need to have another one, because you can't just have one.
That's good. We've harped on this, but again, it needs to be professional. It needs to look professional. One option is to get in video. If you have experience being on camera, if you have experience speaking in front of groups, you can get on camera and don't necessarily talk about what the story is about. Talk about where the story came from. Talk about your passion. That will come through. A lot of times people go away from movies or books or TV or anything, plays, songs, a month later, and you say, well, what was that play about? Well, I don't know, but boy, they were sure passionate about, they are hooked by your passion. And so if you can get on camera and talk passionately about your story, they'll pick up on that attitude.
That's right. Another thing you want to keep in mind is you want to know what you're going to measure. So while you're making the video, you need to be thinking about what is the goal of this video and how are we going to see if the video was effective or not. So you want to think about that at the beginning. So one way to do that is you can say, go to some certain URL. So go to booktitle.com and where it, you know, the it's yourbooktitle.com, and you can track how many people go to that URL, and maybe you only share that in your video, and then you can see, oh, the video had 5,000 views, but it had 3,000 people went to this URL, so the video was very effective or what have you. And that helps you track and see if it's effective or not, which can then inform you for the next book. Because the last thing you want to do, the only thing worse than doing one ineffective video is two ineffective videos.
We talked about music being so powerful in your video. So let me ask you this. Would you compose your own musical score for your book trailer? You would probably say, well, no, I wouldn't do that. I don't have experience doing that. It's the same thing with the script. You need to hire somebody that knows how to put together a storyboard, knows how to put together a script, knows how to make this thing pop. So if you're going to get serious about doing a book trailer and you want to do it right, you probably need to hire somebody to write the script.
And when you're checking out companies, you want to look at what videos they've made.
Yes.
But more importantly, you want to ask them, what have been the results of those videos? Because it may be a very pretty video, but it doesn't actually move sales. And so I would ask them, you know, what was the impact of this from a marketing perspective? Like, oh, wow, this video helped add another 2,000 or 3,000 sales to the book. And so I'm like, okay, that's the kind of company I'd go with over a company's like, well, I don't know. We just thought it was pretty. All right. So, Jim, what are some resources? Somebody's wanting to make a video. What would you recommend that they check out?
Well, I would recommend they check out a variety of different places, because you can end up spending $3,000 on a book trailer very easily. And the cheap guys will do it for $250, but it will be cheap looking. So how do you do it if you're going to do it yourself? Well, the reality is there are colleges, there are where video programming is being taught, and you can find some extremely talented kids that would do a video for you dirt cheap or free for exposure.
Or as a class assignment.
A lot of
film students have to do a certain number of videos for various assignments, and the part they hate the most is the writing of the script part. And so if you give them something to start with, they'd be very happy to work with you, free or cheap. So go to your local university if you're on a budget. That can be the best place to get started.
As we said, audio is important. So maybe you go to the local radio station, and you talk to a guy, and you say, hey, I'll give you $50 to do a, 45-second voicer for me, and you get a really professional-sounding voice. The other thing is you can go to voices.com and get guys to do that. You can go to Fiverr. I haven't tried this, but my guess is you could go to Fiverr.com and find somebody that would do a voicer for you that really is very talented.
I've hired voice talent on Fiverr.com.
You have.
It's very not hit or miss.
Okay. Which doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. So I hired somebody on Fiverr.com to do a voiceover, and then it was so bad we had Jim do it instead. So anyway, one place to try for music is pond5.com. There's a lot of places where you can buy music for the backgrounds of videos, and you can do searches for things like exciting or dramatic. So pond5.com and also audiojungle.com also has songs for $20 or $30. And these are professionally produced music you can put in the background.
And the other thing is you would be surprised at who you know that you don't know that you know. In other words, you probably have a friend who has a friend that does video production or does video production. And that's another great way to get something done cheap. For example, my son, Taylor, does video production professionally, right? Oh, hey, somebody in the family. And my background is in broadcast journalism and advertising, so I did a lot of TV commercials. So I'm very comfortable doing my own trailers, doing my own voiceovers, this kind of thing, hiring Taylor, because I'm okay at video editing, but I'm not great like him. And so right in the family, I have some of those resources. My guess is in your family or extended family, you can probably find some of those same type of people.
One final place to check out is Craigslist.com. In your local area, there's probably a bunch of starving independent film companies that in between projects are looking for a paying gig and be very happy to take a project for a couple $1,000s. And they have the equipment to really do it right and the expertise. So check out Craigslist as well. Try to avoid the photo factories. The slideshows don't sell books. I know that's not what you want to hear. But just trust us on this. That's not what you want to go with. You want to go with true professionals who know what they're doing.
So to wrap up, I guess I'll give my opinion on book trailers and then Thomas can give his and we'll let you go. But my advice is they're not worth it. They are really...
Oh, I thought you were going to come down on the pro side.
I know you did. Unless you have the expertise and the resources to do... Let me put it this way. factor your time. What do you make per hour? Factor that in. And how many hours you're going to spend on it, how much you're going to pay for voiceover, editing, this kind of thing. If you can do a high quality trailer for $75 or under, go for it. If you can't, your time is better spent elsewhere. Thomas?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I'm not a fan of book trailers. I think to really get a professional one done by professionals, you need to expect to pay about $5,000. And yeah, there are a lot of other things you can do for that $5,000 that are more effective. And so book trailers make sense when you've already done all those more effective things. And you've got a book that's selling tens of thousands of copies and has a potential selling hundreds of thousands of copies. That's when, at that point, I'd be willing to invest in the book trailer. But if you're just getting started, there's so many more things. And if you spent those $5,000 in Goodreads ads, money would be falling from the heavens. So I would not pursue book trailers with very much budget, unless you have the sales to make it worth it.
This episode of the Novel Marketing Podcast has been brought to you by the Ultimate Crowdfunding Course for Authors. We talked about this in one of our episodes. How do you crowdfund your own book? How do you get paid to write your book before you even start writing it? And Thomas Umstead, my partner in the Novel Marketing Podcast, came out with a course on how to do this with our great friend Mary DeMuth. They put together truly everything you need to know about funding your own project. I won't go into the details here. You can go to novelmarketing.com/crowdfunding. You can go to authormedia.com/crowdfunding and get all the details on it. But you do need to know that if you put in the code novelmarketing, you'll get an automatic 10% off.
Would you like your name and book featured in the Novel Marketing Podcast like Elizabeth Jane Kitchens? All you have to do is ask us a really good question that we feature in an episode, and we will give you and your book a shout out. So just go to novelmarketing.com and then click the big Ask a Question button. We are here to answer your questions, and we love getting your feedback. So ask us a question, and you might hear your book featured in a future episode.
Thomas? This has been the Novel Marketing Podcast, giving you novel ideas on how to promote yourself and your writing offline, online, and everywhere in between.